The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, the EU Migration Pact came into force today, 2 years after it was adopted by Member States and the European Parliament. The pact has received much criticism from both left and right of the political spectrum. It has been criticised by refugee organisations who say its legal safeguards for those seeking protection are not sufficient. We're joined by Nick Henderson, CEO of the Irish Refugee Council. Nick, a centralised database that helps have a more efficient and streamlined system that speeds up the process, that it has multiple agencies working together at a screening centre on site. What's not to like about this new migration pact?
Yeah, well, it sounds good, Shane, when you read it like that. It certainly does. But I think the devil is in the detail, like much of these things. And I just want to be clear that we've spent the last 10 years or more calling out the time that somebody must sit in a direct provision centre while they wait for their application to be considered. So we're against the delays that have existed in the past. But at, on one end of the spectrum is delays, and at the very other end of the spectrum is what we have in front of us now, which is what we would call expediency above humanity. People are going to be fast-tracked through a process. The screening process that you've just mentioned, which is a really critical part of this new process, a process that's being going live across the European Union, that screening process should happen in 7 days, and various things must happen within it. And we don't know if they will, if that will be actually possible at all. And then depending on the screening process and what occurs then, a decision will be made into which procedure you go into. And I think there's 5 or 6 procedures in total. We have real concerns that it's going to, because of the speed with which you go through the system, it's going to be difficult to access support and difficult to get legal advice. There are some safeguards in it, Shane, let's be clear. There is an independent inspectorate. There's a representative body for children. Mm. There's an appeals body. But there are question marks over those things as well.
Okay, but there are those safeguards there. So what is the issue?
Well, the issue is that if you applied for asylum today, you'd have your application considered very, very quickly. It's going to be very difficult for you to get legal advice, which is an integral part of a part applying for protection. This isn't a simple administrative process. It can be a life or death process. The issues that we have with the safeguards are, well, one, the inspectorate body hasn't been appointed yet. Two, the appeals body, if you're a judge sitting in that and you're not actually a judge, you're a tribunal member, you're going to be expected to get through 250 cases a year. I think there's only about 260 working days per year. The representative body, which is a new role, has lots of potential. The Irish Times reported today that's gone to a body or a company that we wouldn't have expected it to have gone to, put it that way, which lists on its website things like pest control and maintenance. So I get what you're saying in terms of surely that we all want this. We all want somebody to...
Yeah, like a standard case has been decided in 6 months, 3 months for accelerated cases, 12 weeks for border procedures. Like, that sounds desirable, does it not?
Well, it certainly sounds desirable if it's possible for somebody to get legal support in that time, if it's possible for somebody to get the information that they need to recover from any trauma that they've been through, to get any medical support that they may need, to get a vulnerability assessment that should cover their any procedural needs, any reception needs, to get access to a lawyer, and bearing in mind that the really the only legal service that is available at the moment is the Legal Aid Board, which is on its knees in terms of resources and support.
According to the, and you may correct me on this, but my understanding is that this border procedure, it's for applicants who are from a country where the proportion of decisions granting international protection is 20% or lower. And it can also be used for applicants who have destroyed or disposed of identity or travel documents, and those who have misled the authorities. Again, I think most people, even those who are sympathetic and very sympathetic to those who are seeking asylum, would say, you know, maybe in those situations where there's, you know, countries that basically where there's big question marks about whether there is a genuine application, or those people who've destroyed their documents, that it's kind of fair enough that these are fast-tracked.
I can imagine why somebody might think that, Shane, but just 2 points there. Firstly, in terms of destroying documents, we've worked with people in our organization who've had to, they feel, destroy a document. I know it might sound spectacular to a listener or yourself, but say that to somebody who's fled, a single mom who's fled Democratic Republic of Congo, who's experienced sexual violence there, and she's been told, this is the passport on which you're traveling and you must destroy it when you arrive, otherwise you'll be sent back. That's why, in our experience, somebody would do that.
But you know what? I'm hugely sympathetic to people in those situations. And you know what? These are people who are desperate to make a life for themselves. So I understand that people do desperate things. But I think most people, most fair-minded people would say that there are also people pulling a fast one by destroying their documents. And to deny that is naive and unrealistic.
Well, there is many reasons why somebody may do it, Shane, but I'm also talking to you from our experience as an organization that's been doing this work for more than 30 years. Surely people may be doing it for reasons other than I've just said, and reasons that we wouldn't agree with, but they're also doing it because there's a fear that they may be sent immediately returned on arrival, just on terms of the 20%.
But they wouldn't be, so why do they think that?
Well, they are. They are. Like, if you look at the doorstep operations that existed under, since the time of Charlie Flanagan as Justice Minister, there were recorded practice of immigration officers standing at the bottom of a set of steps at Dublin Airport and people putting people on the next plane. That's
if recorded. They come from a safe country.
I don't know where they come from, but and who they apply it to, but it's a very well-established practice.
But sorry, if you're applying for asylum, do you not have a right for that case to be heard, even if it is, as you say, a rushed process?
You do, and that's what we've raised. And I can remember writing the letter to Charlie Flanagan about it. I think it was sort of before COVID. It was 6 years ago. So you do have a right to asylum. Just on the 20% point, because it is an interesting point. That's a European-wide recognition rate. It sounds a technicality, but we're concerned that other countries with practices different to ours will be giving lower recognition rates and will be bound by those recognition rates.
Okay, final question, Nick. Mary Lou McDonald and Sinn Féin say that this new pact undermines Irish sovereignty, and they say decisions on migration should be taken by the people of this country alone. Do you agree with that take?
I don't want to drift into politics, Sinn Féin have had that stance since the very beginning. The government would probably say, well, this went through the legislative process and it was whipped through the Dáil, it was heard in committee stage in the full Dáil. I think the bigger point is the legislative process and the guillotine in effect of this legislation going through the Dáil, which is of great concern, and it's a practice with this government and the last one. If I could just say one final thing, Shane. Yeah. If a person is recognized as a refugee at the other end of the system, and that's if they get through it, the new rules today around family reunification are that you would not be able to apply for family reunification for 2 years. Then you have to apply, and then you would have to show near complete independence from the state for the previous 2+ years. That's not a requirement of this EU legislation, and that's Minister O'Callaghan and Minister Brophy bringing this in themselves. And I think it could break apart families, and that's an additional concern.
Nick Henderson, CEO of the Irish Refugee Council, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder this evening.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.